whole term of talking about being supernatural, living supernatural. Let's do a bit of a rewind, a little wiki, as Imta would have us do on Sunday mornings. If you want to act supernatural, you have to think supernatural. And if you want to think supernatural, you have to be supernatural. And so that's why we're in a process of a couple weeks. We saw last week that not just Christina or Gwen Stefani love their kids when they're born unconditionally. Everyone does. You don't wait until the child becomes something. God looks down, looks at us, and loves us perfectly, accepts us, embraces us perfectly. He's not Pocket God, the new iPhone app. He's not some capricious God that is shaking villagers' islands and being mean and poking them and zapping them with lightning or flicking them into volcanoes like we saw last week. No, he's different. He's Bible God, if I can call him that. The same God who came and restored our friendship with him when we were enemies. Like, I'm still shaking my fist at God. I'm still calling him names and saying, yeah, who are you? And he says, I'm dying for you. Same time, same place in Calvary. I mean, he's just phenomenal. And last week, some of you responded to a very deep moment of, hey, I need to receive the grace of God into my life. And if you did, one of us will give you a buzz this week and connect with you either through Facebook or email or SMS or something. So is anyone bold enough, and Andrew just wants to give you a piece of paper to put a detail on. Any of you put your hand up last week in the prayer, okay? Just raise it up halfway and Andrew will just see you quick. Andrew, if you can just whip those out. Anyone? There was about three guys last week. Anyone? Anyone want to take it further? Show me a hand, half a hand. Someone want to talk more? I see that hand. No, I raise you five. Anyone? No one did. Going once. If you didn't, you're not bold enough. Why don't you see Andrew afterwards? That'll be really cool. And today, I want to say that when we respond, when we have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're on this faith journey to being connected, growing, reaching, influenced, when we have the encounter, it's like a hand comes through from another domain and pulls us from our realm into his realm. And no longer are we what we were. We receive a new identity. Vincent was telling me that this week, you either got your new ID book or it's on its way. You got it. He's got an identity at last. All of you in high school have to apply sometime to get a new ID. It's like you've received a new ID, a new identity, and that's what we want to look at today. It's all about being supernatural, and that speaks about our identity. But let's face it, sometimes I'm more like Hancock, a bum lying on a bench. Oh yeah, from the bum lying inebriated with alcohol on the park bench to Hancock. A man with all the powers to put the villains away, a new sense of his identity. That looks like an ordinary family, don't you think? Well, they're not ordinary. Underneath those incredible exteriors is a super strong Mr. Incredible. There is a super flexible, flexi girl or elastic girl. There is a super fast Dash. I mean, if you've got the name Dash, you want to live up to that, don't you? There's Violet, super defensive, able to go into stealth mode, create a force field around her, go invisible when she needs. There's Jack-Jack, able to explode at any moment into a ball of fire or take on any other form that he wants. I don't know if you've seen Heroes. Ordinary people walking the face of the earth. But every one of them can do something unique and different. Maybe you've seen the Fantastic Four on a Friday night just recently. Yeah. Each one of them can either extend themselves or they're actually made of rock or they ice or storm or fire or you name it. And if you haven't seen a Superman yet, you've been locked in a cellar for the last 15 years of your life. Maybe you've seen Smallville. Clark Kent, ordinary, normal dude. One moment, next minute he's in a phone booth and before you know it he's got those red underpants and he's busting out and he's putting all the bad guys away. It's something about red underpants, guys, that are very awakening and empowering. If you don't have any, you need to invest in something. Even the marketers are starting to think of this idea of being supernatural. I mean, this is some serious dude powering that boat, don't you think? This is some seriously powerful dude on Cape Table Mountain pulling up the mountain just with pedal power. Try that sometime. Ordinary? I don't think so. Kobe Bryant is on the supernatural tour. Has anyone heard that? He's been through Malaysia, I've had the privilege to be there in Singapore. I wish I could have been on his supernatural tour. What's with that? Why is he supernatural? Well, have a look as we'll see him in action. Supernatural? Not sure, but the boy can fly. He's got wings, and he's invisible one moment, and he's phenomenal. This morning, I want to transition you to think about the transformation that's happened, that this new identity. The moment you encounter Jesus, you are never, never the same. You can't go back. And I want to introduce you this morning to seven transformations that God says has happened to you. Number one, you've moved from darkness to light. The Bible says, I have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. God called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Once I was in absolute darkness. It was like I was stumbling around. Do you remember that some time back we spoke about the door? How that some of us need to stay near the door, because people who go too deep in don't realize that when you're in the kingdom, outside the kingdom, people are stumbling around in the dark, desperately looking for their way. They're not physically blind, but they might as well be. They are, for all intents and purposes, locked in a dark experience, a dark existence. And Christ comes, he turns on the light. Maybe you've never made that move, but it's a stepping over from one kingdom to another, stepping out of darkness, stepping into light. Get it? First transformation. I was in darkness. Now I'm in the light. Secondly, I once was dead, and now I am alive. Dead. You were dead in your sins that God, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. It's like when you come home with a brand new cell phone. It's dead in the box. The battery's flat. It's also not activated. You've got to plug it in, charge it for like 72,000 hours to get a decent battery life out of it. Once you switch it on, you still got to activate it through MTN, Cell C, or Vodacom. It's not just happening immediately. You've got to go down to the store, take your ID book. There's this thing that happens, but at some point when this whole process has happened and you connect it, suddenly you go from dead to alive. It's resurrection. It's like you've been resurrected with Jesus Christ, is how the Bible explains it. Number two, dead to alive. Number three, slave to son. Daughter doesn't rhyme, so we're going to use slave to son this morning. We become children of God. Listen, you are no longer slaves, but God's children, and God has made you heirs. There's a guy that visits me, and he came yesterday to work, and he's down to work next week. 2 weeks ago, he brought me a copy of his ID book, and he said, Mark, would you scan me a copy of my ID book and keep it for me in case I lose it? And his name's Isaac, and he works sometimes on a Saturday for me and earns like 100 rand for 3 hours of work in the garden. It's hot in the garden, and he comes yesterday, please, can I have like 20 rand, 28 rand for mealy meal and stuff, and I give him money, and he's not going to inherit the family jewels one day. You see, I've got another piece of paper here that came from the Department of Home Affairs that says, according to the provision of the Child Act Care, your adopted son is now regarded as if born to you. Drew and Isaac are two very different people. This was not my son. He is now my son. He will always be my son. One day there's going to be a huge fight when I'm dead, and Keegan, Ashley, and Drew are going to muscle up, man up, and they're going to fight over the debt, or the credit, hopefully. They're going to fight over the house, fight over the cars, fight over the DVDs. They won't want those because they'll be old school. There'll be a new type of Blu-ray thing happening. But Isaac's got no claim on the family. I choose whether or not to bless him, to give him stuff. I chose to open the kindness of my heart to give him something yesterday. But it's not a right. It's not something that he can come and demand. We've been adopted in. Once I was a slave, actually a slave to sin, and now I'm a child of God. I'm his son, or for you maybe, Jean, you're his daughter. Child of God. Number four, once I was a sinner, now I am a saint. Sin is the exception, not the rule. I don't live in sin. I have a conscience which warns me the moment I do something wrong. And that conscience was awakened on the day the hand came through the wormhole and pulled me into the new existence. And if I do continue to sin, one day I visited my brother in the hospital before he passed away in a tragic accident. But he had a prior accident where God came and called his life to account. And Keith lay in the hospital with his hand all bandaged up and said, "Dad, I've lost my fingers because God is trying to warn me about my life." And as the car rolled, as he flipped his car, his hand was out the window and his fingers disappeared. And he said, "God is trying to get my attention." He got out of hospital. He went back to the same life of drugs and wastedness. And his life was taken, but not before God graciously came and pulled him through the vortex into the new kingdom. You see, we have been transformed from what we were, from sinners who hated God, who did wrong, into an experience of being ongoing transformed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever increasing glory. I will never just be a sinner. Don't call yourself a sinner. The Bible calls you a saint. Shall we sin that grace may abound? Paul almost swears in the Greek. He says, "May genoite." God forbid. I will never do that so that I can get more grace from God. I was a sinner. I am no longer a sinner. Get it? I'm a saint. Number five, I've moved from being human to being superhuman. Debbie said to me the other day, she said, "I have an eye that's just vibrating and jerking all the time. Pray for it." What? I put my hand out and I said, "I, in the name of Jesus, be healed." Instantaneously, last Monday night, that eye stopped jumping and it hasn't manifested again, and it's a week later. She used to be tired because of it. Imta, jump up here and tell me a story about something that happened in your car with your wife this week and had something to do with Panado, I believe. We are not human. We are superhuman because of God.
What happened was, Mark told me the story. So my wife and I in the car, we stop off, we're coming in, and she says she needs to rush into the house because she's got a headache. So as soon as she said that, I'm like, do I pray? The Panado will heal or no, it's fine. So I was like, okay, no, Lord, I'll pray. So I did exactly what Mark said. I put my hand on her face like this, and I said, "Headache, be healed in Jesus' name. How do you feel?" Then she says, "Yeah, actually, it feels a lot better." So I'm like, okay, great, okay, I'll pray. As we're about, I'm like, oh, let me just pray again. So I prayed again. I said, "Headache, be healed in Jesus' name." And she said it was healed. She said from the time she said she had a headache to when I prayed the second time, and it was probably about 2 minutes that she was healed. I felt quite...
I was asked to do something on Monday night. I was asked to train our campus leaders. And if you know our campus, there is success and favor and effectiveness. Tonight at WITS, there's like over 500 people. I'm asked to come in, the youth pastor, to train them. Temba asked me, and I'm like, ugh. And he says, "Train them on the five dysfunctions of a team." I had never trained. I know the book as a team, we'd spoken about it. And I think there was something amazing that happened as we drove 2 hours north of Joburg, Imta and I, to go and be part of that training. It wasn't something I could do in my human ability. I remember once a guy coming at me with a knife to take my life. And I put my hand up and I said, "In the name of Jesus, drop the knife." And it was like he hit a brick wall. It was almost like I heard him, "Qua!" And he just dropped it to the floor. And suddenly he wasn't drunk anymore. My life could have been God. There's a new mind, a new heart. There's a new hope. We're not human. It's like we heroes somehow. We've moved from being earthly to being heavenly. The Bible says that we're aliens and strangers in the world, citizens of heaven. It's like we displaced. It's like we lived in one country. There was a major coup. My family was in power. And so all of us have to flee for our lives. I'm thinking of a guy by the name of Gabriel Biziamunyamunya. Comes from Rwanda. And he came here to our Bible school to flee for his life. He had refugee status. He said, "Mark, if I ever go back, I'm going to be killed." And it was hard for him as he would travel on a taxi. When his voice would be heard, people would victimize him. You see, he was an alien in a strange land. And Lord willing, we're over from all that in our country, the xenophobic stuff. But you know, we're never going to be quite at home in this world as believers, are we? Because we're different. We think different. We are different. We're in a foreign land. And number seven this morning, I want to tell you that we are no longer natural. We are supernatural. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You know, there's an incredible passage in the Word of God in Ephesians, and maybe you've read it, Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll read it to you. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Put on, and I'm just showing off the new phone that got delivered this week, and I'm even going to flip it open to show you that it's truly supernatural. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the darkness of the age, against the spiritual wickedness or hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And you may be wondering why I'm using gaming pictures today. Because it's like we're in a game, a supernatural game. We're online. We're there, we're playing, we have a new identity, and we are new creations. I have my five senses, but I have another sense. I have a spiritual sense, a sense that's able to prophesy into people's lives. There's healing that happens. We have a new identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you've listened for way long enough. We are going to do something for the first time today, kind of like something Imta had us do one day with singing a new song unto the Lord, but we're going to make some supernatural declarations this morning. And the band is going to make their way to stage right now, Imta and the crew. We're going to be thinking of the fact that I am supernatural because I am. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. We're going to begin with episode one. There's two episodes in this game this morning. The band's going to demo something. The band has no more insight to what's coming than what you do. Okay, they have just been given an envelope with their mission. Step up, is this the mission you take? Yes, it is the mission. This is more tense than Halo. Here's their verse. It says that God has rescued us from the power of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. His Son paid the price for us, which means that our sins are forgiven. They are going to find one concept in that completes the sentence, I am supernatural because I am. And they are going to declare it. The phrase has to be there. I am supernatural because I am. And they're going to continue that passage, and they're going to free flow with up to four lines of ideas as to why I'm supernatural because of that concept. Okay, this is live. This is not pre-rehearsed, pre-recorded. Good luck, band. I am supernatural because I am.
I am supernatural because I'm rescued. God is like the 911 10111 because he rescues me from the fires. God is like a fire brigade because when I was burning, he came in and put the fire away. So now today I stand here and I sing, I am supernatural because I am rescued. Rescued, rescued.
Step up to level two. Level two, here we go. Now it's your time. I'm going to give you a passage of scripture. And in fact, I'm going to let you use that same one. How about that? You want to do that? You can find anything on that page. Think about it for a few moments. And we're going to call up some of you to come forward to the mic, okay? Okay, find something in there. One word, and then flow with it like Imta did. Cool. I am supernatural because I am. Aha. You find something. As soon as you got something, come up to the mic and make your declaration. Free flow. Anyone can do it. Just speak it out.
I am supernatural because I am. I am supernatural because I am. am supernatural because I am. I am supernatural because I am. Because I am.
So you can either sing it, you can speak it, the band will play the tune through. You need to start with a phrase, that was awesome. But start with that phrase. I am supernatural because I am. Find your hook and then flow it. Okay?
Supernatural because I am.
I am supernatural because I am.
I am supernatural because I am forgiven. Jesus paid the price for my sins and now I can live, not die. Because God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Supernatural because I am. I am supernatural because I am. I am supernatural because I am.
Come on.
I am supernatural because I am.
Daddy, you're the one. Daddy, you're all.